Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. Bright and really early, but raring to go, we are going to Dog Beach and learn a bit about Dog Beach etiquette. That's right, Montrose Dog Beach is open, and not only are they ready for action, they have a lot of action. Also, my latest WGN Merrick Pet Care Petcast has dropped, and I'll tell you about that. Mark Ayers may be the busiest man in the state of Illinois. He is the Illinois Director of the Humane Society of the United States. Mark, I don't recall so many animal welfare-related bills coming up one after another, after another, after another, in recent years at all.
They are hard to keep straight at this point, Steve. I think there's close to a dozen animal welfare bills moving right now through the Illinois General Assembly. So it's a great thing to happen, but it's keeping us pretty busy, as you can imagine.
I remember, perhaps back before your time, when a governor named Pat Quinn would call on me because there was bill after bill, and he wanted to know my opinion at that time. And eventually, we were, as a result of the governor, Governor Quinn signing all these bills, we were actually named the most humane state in the country. And then there were a couple of years where I definitely say, maybe not. I think we're moving back in that direction is now the state of Illinois. Now, Chicago just did this. You know this. You were a big part of it, where no dogs, no cats, no rabbits, for sure, finally, no way around it, can be sold at pet stores in Chicago. And that may happen now for dogs and cats, where they cannot be sold at pet stores statewide, correct?
That is correct. So there's a bill moving as we speak in the General Assembly. It's House Bill 1711 that's already passed the House, and it passed the House 76-24. So on pretty big bipartisan margins, it passed and is now sitting in the Senate, where it is waiting for further consideration in the Senate committee and on the Senate floor. So if that does pass, we would be the fifth state in the country to pass that historic legislation.
And what's really cool about it is, beside from impacting puppy mills, and for those who say that won't impact puppy mills, we're now talking about five states potentially if Illinois passes it, but others to come. New York, New Jersey, even Pennsylvania, the home of puppy mills, and other states as well, I believe, Mark, are looking at the same exact thing. So it is happening slowly, but it is happening state by state by state, correct?
That is correct. It's happening all over the place. I mean, as you mentioned, there's a handful of states that are considering the same measure right now in their state legislatures, but it's also having this massive snowball effect at the local level. I mean, at this point, it's even hard to keep track of how many local ordinances have passed. I think we're nearing 400 humane pet store ordinances across the entire country at this point that ban the sale of dogs, cats, and in some cases rabbits in pet stores. So both on the local front and on the state front, we're seeing tremendous progress on this issue.
Now, if this doesn't pass this year, because at some point Illinois will run out of time, it'll probably come up again next year and probably at that point in time pass, would be my prediction. But there's something else going on as well. So if you go into a pet store and you say, I want that puppy, and I'll pay what? Did you say $3,500? I can't afford that. And what they do is they put people on a payment plan that is outrageous, that a lot of people don't know about, Mark.
It's shockingly predatory. That's what we've been calling it. I mean, we're seeing interest rates in the triple digits with consumers walking into these pet stores paying between $3,000 and $11,000 for a puppy, and in some cases a kitten, and then getting interest fees in the realm of 188% interest. And so that sparked us to file House Bill 572 that actually passed the House unanimously, which was great. And that also now is sitting in the Illinois Senate, ready for a final vote at any day now. It's on third reading, ready for a final vote.
And tell me what this bill would do.
The bill is very simple. It completely ends the financing, the third-party financing of dogs and cats and pet stores.
You know, so we're talking about, and I want you to give us that number again. What did you say the interest rate may be?
It was 188% interest for a dog that we saw.
So an interest rate nearing 200%. And if you don't pay that rate, you're, I assume. So you walk into a pet store, Mark, and this is often the case. You know, it's not only mom and dad. It's the kids tugging at the shirt tails of mom and dad saying, I want that puppy. I want that puppy. Then they look into that puppy's eyes and, okay, they see the price tag and they say, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. And the pet store says, well, we have a plan. Don't worry about it. And sometimes included in that plan may be veterinary care, but it turns out they don't have a choice of what veterinarian to go to. And there are some other things that aren't so cool, really, when you look at it, that are included in that plan. The only thing it benefits, it's not benefiting the consumer at all. It benefits the pet store, or in this case, a third party that charges potentially nearly 200% or whatever percent you gave me in interest, which is crazy. I can't think of another industry or another retailer where it's that kind of interest. And in fact, for our charge cards, the interest is nowhere near that.
Yeah, it's really awful. They're taking full advantage of the consumer. And they know for a fact that when a family walks into one of those pet stores and falls in love, as we naturally do with an 8-week-old puppy, and not many of us have between 3 and 11 grand in pocket change just sitting in our pockets. And so they count on the fact that you can't afford that puppy. And then they entice the consumer into these installment loan contracts and also these 90-day same as cash gimmicks where you walk out of that pet store with basically a free puppy for 3 months. And then in the mail, you get the bill and the contract for 2 years, sometimes 3 years. And then that's when they see, for the first time, the shocker sticker price of the APR in triple-digit territory. And there's no way out of that contract. And they have to drain their savings and drain their wallet and also likely be paying for vet bills and general care for the animal. And they just can't afford it at the end of the day. And that's when we see these animals ultimately being relinquished to animal shelters and animal control. So we're trying to put a stop to it because this predatory practice just has to stop.
Well, of course. And if you're interested in supporting what Mark is talking about, contact your state senator or your state representative as well. We have time for just one more example of something else you're working on, Mark.
Yes, there's another bill moving in the General Assembly that involves wildlife and wildlife trafficking. That's House Bill 395. And that also passed the House with only one no vote. It was 112-1. And so that the bill basically will ban the parts and products of 16 threatened and endangered species from being trafficked into the state of Illinois. Some big cat parts and products, a lot of marine species, pangolins, which are the world's most trafficked mammal. It also includes our existing ivory and rhino horn parts and products that will be banned. And so that is now ready for a final vote in the Senate. And the good news about that one is that it was placed on the consent calendar yesterday, ready for a final vote next week. And so we are fully expecting that bill to pass and be sent to the governor very soon.
And the even better news is, from my perspective, and I suspect you agree, that the same sort of thing is not only being replicated in states all over the country, but our government, the U.S. government, is considering a very similar bill as well on the national level. Mark Ayers, Humane Society of the United States, it is always so good to catch up with you, and I thank you for all the amazing work, and let's root for Illinois being the most humane state in the country. We're moving in that direction again, Mark.
We're looking good. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you. Paul Fehrenbacher is the chief mutt at Mutt Jackson, and he's also on the board of directors at Montrose Beach, which is now open for dogs and, I suppose, Paul, the people that have to bring them there, right?
Indeed. Indeed.
Now, I think we can boast Chicago has, is it the largest dog beach in the country?
I don't know if it's the largest. I dare say it's definitely the busiest during the summer, that's for sure.
Oh, gosh, yes. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing, as we'll talk about in a moment. But first of all, if you haven't gotten the idea, you're open, aren't you?
We are. Thank goodness. It's so great to feel like old times. We're at Chicago's slice of heaven again with people and pups.
And those pups get dirty after going to the beach, too. And you have a solution for that.
They do get dirty in the best type of way. That means they're in the sand and in the lake. And as someone that went to Montrose Dog Beach before there was a way to wash their dog, I wanted to solve that problem. And fast forward to today, we have a dog wash where you can rinse and shampoo and dry your dog before you take them home.
And you have, like, what, how many, 6 or 8 of them there?
Yeah, I mean, we started off with 2 machines back in 2017, and fast forward to today in 2021, we're going to have 6 machines here to cut down on wait times and just provide a better customer experience.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And we're talking about dogs everywhere from Chihuahuas to Irish Wolfhounds?
Man, we watched a dog, Steve, the other day that must have been pushing 300 pounds.
What? Great Dane.
And they had a Great Dane meetup day at the beach on Sunday. And I don't know, there must have been 100, 150 Great Danes here.
Come
and it was
on.
The largest Great Dane I ever saw.
Did you take pictures of that? I can't imagine.
Wait, you know what? Not only did we take pictures, the dog actually had a sibling that was close to its size. And it gets better. Both dogs were wearing, like, goggles like a horse wears.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, the owners had them both wearing those, and they had reflective lenses. So they were the coolest dogs on the beach, and biggest, for that matter, for a while.
I would imagine. You know, so I could see the mayor saying, no, wait a minute, our dog beach is for dogs, not horses. I mean...
That's fair.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if you heard about this, Steve, we had a potbelly pig that showed up at the dog beach. This is back in, like, 2017, 2018, which... fortunately, that owner was told it's probably not a good idea to bring your potbelly pig to the dog beach. But yes, these were quasi horses, but fortunately, I think technically dogs.
So, for those who don't have potbelly pigs or real horses, do you have any advice for going to the dog beach? And here's how I want to begin. Number one should be, I think you're the expert, you know, pay attention to your dog.
Yeah, you know, and paying attention to your dog actually starts before you get to the dog beach. You got to make sure that your dog has a tag with your phone number on it.
Good point.
I have experienced it too often where somehow a dog kind of gets away from the owner's attention and slips through a gate, and we become the de facto, we being my company, Mutt Jackson, who's at the entrance of Montrose Dog Beach, become the de facto pet parent finder. And it becomes so difficult without a tag. So just make sure your dog has a tag with your phone number on it. So I'd say from the very get-go, do that.
And frankly, you know, right, wrong, or otherwise, I mean, it is a law that your dog does have that identification. And also, I'll throw in there, make sure your dog is microchipped. And the information on that microchip, done through the database of whatever company you got the microchip through, is completely up-to-date. So up-to-date phone numbers, email addresses, and all of that. Otherwise... if they scan the dog and the information is wrong, such as the phone number and email, they're not going to find you. So it has it has to be up to date. Speaking of which, the fence was between the pandemic. That did not knock over the fence, but the time that nothing was used or repaired because of the pandemic, and previous to that, storms and the water washing up way past where it typically did at one point. That fence was in need of repair, so the dogs could get out. That has been repaired?
Yeah, thank goodness, and credit to the Park District for repairing it. It's something we advocated for during the off season. And not only was it repaired, but it was repaired in such a fashion that it increased the size of the dog beach. So the area that's between the People Beach and Dog Beach, the fence was repaired and remains in the same location. But there is an area between, like, the grass and road, and the dog beach, where they actually kind of moved it further west, which if you're at the dog beach, you could see this, but it increased the size of the dog beach, which is fantastic. And thank goodness as well that for whatever reason, the lake level seems to be in a place, whether it pushed up more sand or has receded, where the dog beach in terms of size is in really good shape. So we're suited for a fantastic 2021 summer.
And the cool thing about dog beach, you'll have to tell me, I haven't been there yet this year, but in past years, you can go out and there are places where the water, you're way out there, and the water's only literally a foot or a foot and a half deep because of these sandbars, these natural sandbars, and that makes it great for very small dogs, or puppies. Is that true still?
Yeah, I'm actually here as we speak, Steve, looking out from my car, and I can tell you that there's a gal with her puppy that's a good 50 to 75 yards out, and she's only up to, like, her knees.
Yeah, and that's one of the cool things. However, if you have a Labrador, a dog that really loves to swim, there are plenty of places where you could throw that ball and the dog really does swim, correct?
That's right. That's right. I'm gonna give you one more piece of dog beach etiquette, because
yes.
I've seen this happen in real time as we record this. You got to make sure you close the gates behind you. So dog parks intentionally have double gates, and you have to be very mindful of trying to close both gates before you go into the beach or if you exit the beach. That's important dog beach etiquette.
No, that's a great point. So you go in, and there's a gate, and then there's another gate right in front of you. So turn around, make sure the gate in back of you is closed, because it could prevent, if not your dog, another dog from getting out. And that's the last thing we want to see, especially where Dog Beach is located, because there are so many cars that are not too far away. Having said that, I don't know if you go early on a weekend, or especially during the week, because there aren't quite as many people there during the week. And if you go early enough, for me anyway, I feel like I'm on a little secluded beach. There might be five other dogs out there and you, and that's it.
That's right. And so if you have a dog that you're training or doesn't have great recall for whatever reason, that's the time to go, is on weekdays or very early or late on the weekends, not when you're in the prime of a Saturday or Sunday when it's nice during the summer, because I kid you not, you could be in a beach with 100 to 300 dogs easy at one time.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is that parking can be difficult at certain times because everyone wants to go to the beach, especially it seems this year. There's this pent-up demand for going to the beach, which is a wonderful thing. I mean, Chicago has this great beachfront. Yes, it's great that people come from all over to use it. And they don't only come from the suburbs and places away from the lake where people live, but they come to use Dog Beach from other places, don't they?
That's right. I mean, there's people that are on road trips and they'll Google things to do in Chicago if they're traveling with their dog, and quite often Montrose Dog Beach steps up as a point of visitation. So we have people from literally coast to coast, and even more local people from Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin that will come just to hang out at Montrose Dog Beach and spend the weekend in Chicago.
You know what I love? I love the people that come out with a couple chairs and they set up the chairs and they don't come out with a dog. They just want to be entertained by the dogs. You've seen that too, if I have.
I'll tell you one of the sweetest stories of my experience at Montrose, which is pushing, I don't know, close to 10 years now. There's an older woman who has a caretaker, and one of the things she loves to do with her caretaker is during the weekdays, she comes to the dog beach, and to your point, she actually doesn't even go on the beach. She just has her chair put next to the fence with her caretaker right next to her, and she just sits there and soaks in the happiness of Montrose Dog Beach without a dog.
Oh, that is so cool, you know.
Yeah.
Montrose Dog Beach, obviously, and Montrose and the lake in Chicago. What's your website?
Mondog.org is the website for the actual Dog Beach proper, mondog.org. And then for our dog washes, my company, Mutt Jackson, we are muttjackson.com. And we're so looking forward to having people come out here with their pup in 2021 and kind of reliving the glory days.
All right. Well, Paul Fehrenbacher, Chief Mutt, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
WGNradio.com is where you find it, and that is my latest petcast. It has dropped. Isn't that the terminology they use in showbiz? But this is exciting because here's an opportunity for me to talk about topics that matter to all of you. It's presented by Merrick Pet Care, and in this particular petcast, I talk with Dr. Ellen Jackson. She's the president and CEO of Austin Pets Alive, about the record number of pet adoptions that have been happening. It began that way at the very start of the pandemic, and it needed to. Thank goodness that happened, because there were municipal facilities all over the country that said employees, volunteers, cannot come in to feed the animals. And no one knew what was going to happen, if it would get worse or what. So thank goodness for all of you who have adopted these pandemic puppies, as we call them, even though I'm also talking about cats or fostered animals. But it has continued in many places around the country adoptions continue to be up. She also gives advice, Dr. Jefferson does, about, okay, now you've made that adoption. How do you integrate that new pet into your home? Next week on Steve Dale's Pet World, this is exciting. Rainbow Animal Assisted Therapy, a renowned animal assisted therapy group. We will talk to them about what they do and how they change lives. That's next week, Steve Dale's Pet World, bright and early on WGN.